Hey, this is Kevin Stuff, episode number one. Welcome to the very first episode of Kevin Stuff. Why am I calling this podcast Kevin Stuff? Pretty simple. My name's Kevin, and I'm going to be talking about my stuff. Now, you may be wondering who I am. Well, my name's Kevin. I live in the suburbs of Montreal. That's up in Canada, in case you're not from around here. I work as a computer consultant. I'm a husband, a father of two. I'm very active in my church, and I have a deep desire to see families really grow and succeed in a time when families aren't really doing so hot. And so I'm just playing around with this podcast now, and just, I don't know where this is going to go, really. My wife thinks I'm crazy, and she thinks podcasting is crazy, and she thinks it's for people who just basically like to hear their own voice, which, hey, that's me! So I love the sound of my voice, and maybe there'll be a couple of people out there that would like the sound of it as well. So let's get started, shall we? So the first thing I want to talk about today is probably one of my favorite stuff things that I'm going to be talking about in this podcast, and that's Warhammer. For those of you that have absolutely no clue what Warhammer is, well, it's going to be hard for me to educate you on it, but basically what it is, it's tabletop wargaming. You go at it with a couple of your friends. What you do is you collect models, which are basically small lead or plastic soldiers, and you set it up on a large table, usually about maybe 5 feet by 2.5 feet, which has scenery, beautifully detailed scenery on it, like hills and towers and cities and villages, rivers, whatever. And basically your armies go at it. And the games that I play are made by a company which is called Games Workshop. You can get more information about Games Workshop on their website, which is www.games-workshop.com. Now, Games Workshop, they produce three games. They produce one fantasy battles game, which basically pits orcs against humans and skeletons and a bunch of different fantasy-themed armies. They also have another version of the game, which is called Warhammer 40K, which is a sci-fi version of the Battletop game. And they also started producing when the Lord of the Rings trilogy started and playing in the movie theater, they got the rights and they started producing a Lord of the Rings strategy battle game. And that's the game that I really, really love. I've spent more than enough money on this game and have the minis to prove it and the scenery in my basement to prove it as well. Well, this week, the newest source book in the Lord of the Rings strategy battle game became available. The title of it is called The Fall of the Necromancer. And just kind of, I have the book here in front of me. I'm leafing through it. It's a smaller book. It's only 48 pages. But from what I've read so far, the storyline in this one has to do with the corruption of Mirkwood Forest, where Sauron was secretly disguised as a necromancer, slowly corrupting the forest. And the White Council, which consisted of Saruman, Gandalf the Grey, Elrond, and a bunch of the other really powerful, some of the most powerful and wise people in Middle-earth at the time, had to go into Mirkwood and deal with this necromancer. So the models, the miniatures that are available in this set are just phenomenal. I'm going to post some pictures on my blog, that some minis that I've painted in this line that they've been coming out, and you can check those out. But if you're a fan of the Lord of the Rings, and if you're a fan of miniature wargaming, this is definitely a book worth picking up. I'm just going through some of the scenarios, and I really can't wait to play the very last one, which is called The Fall of the Necromancer. And basically what you got is you're going to have on the table, you're going to have Gandalf, Saruman, Radagast the Brown, Arwen, Glorfindel, Elrond, Galadriel, Celeborn, Legolas, basically going up against the Necromancer, nine of his ring race, troll chieftain, Mordor trolls, a bunch of giant spiders, and on the geek factor, this is definitely rated 10 for just ultimate geek cool, and I cannot wait to get some of my buddies together to try this one out. In other Warhammer news, I was just at the Games Workshop store downtown Montreal today, and I was chatting with Vince, the manager there, and their other staff, and they were showing me some of the new Warhammer 40,000 ruined buildings that they had put together and have on display in the store. And I gotta say that these buildings are absolutely incredible. These are model kits, which basically... if you're familiar with model building, when you used to build like little model airplanes or model cars, where you have like these plastic bits that are on sprues, you punch them out, glue them together to build your airplane or your car. Well, what they're doing now is they have these very incredibly detailed sections, and what you can do is you punch these out and you stick them all together, and it creates ruined buildings in order for your Warhammer 40,000 city fights. Which allows you to have these incredible, incredibly beautifully detailed buildings just across your table. And I'm not a big 40,000 player. I do have a Chaos Space Marine army that I inherited, which is always cool to get a free army. But I'm telling you, looking at those buildings on the display today and going through the latest issue of White Dwarf and checking out these buildings, it really gets me itching to build a completely destroyed city table to have some awesome battles on that. So if you haven't been to your local GW store in a while, you may want to head on over there and check these out. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always collected comic books. I'm a big Superman fan. I've got Superman comics by the box load, and even have the Superman emblem tattooed under my right arm. I'm just a huge Superman fan, and I'm so psyched for this new Superman Returns movie that's going to be opening up in June. And it's amazing how apples really don't fall far from the tree. My son Cameron, who's going to be 5, he just loves superheroes. He's more of a Batman fan, but, you know, I still love him. So I'm not holding that against him. And recently, Cameron and I hit the local comic book store. Now, I haven't been to a comic book store, I gotta be honest, probably in about 7 years. After getting married and starting to have a family, and comic books seem to have shot up to like $100 an issue. I don't know what happened, but I think the price of paper just went crazy. And so I stopped buying. And so we went back into the store, and he picked up a copy of Superman and Batman. I think it's issue number 23. I have no clue what's going on in the story because it's the 23rd issue. But man, the art was just beautiful, and the paper quality was beautiful, and that kind of got me itching to get back into reading a comic book or two. So I picked up issue number 7 of Infinity Crisis. Now, Infinity Crisis, from what I gathered, looked like it was very similar to the series that I read. Man, when did that come out? Gotta be about 20 years ago, when Crisis on Infinite Earth came out. Now, this was a time when the comic book storyline in the DC Universe was so massively confusing that you had about 20 different versions of Superman and 10 different versions of Batman, and there were Superboys and Supergirls and Supermoms and Superdads and Superdogs, and it was just a total mess. So what they did is they took all these alternate realities and merged them all into one reality so that they could just have one timeline. And then they kind of revitalized all the main superheroes like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Hawkman, Green Lantern. And they just kind of started over from there. And that was a very cool time to be a Superman fan because one of my favorite writers, John Byrne, took over writing and drawing of those books. And so I saw this Infinite Crisis, like, wow, that looks like Crisis on Infinite Earth. So I picked it up, and that is what it was. It was another alternate mini copies of Superman and Superboy and all this stuff. And I picked up number 7 of a 7-issue series. And I got to admit, I had no clue what was going on. Now, I consider myself to be a smart guy, and I can usually follow along, but I was at an absolute loss. So if any of you are out there who are listening to this and you've read the Infinite Crisis series, why don't you drop me an email? I'd love to get a rundown of what the story is all about. I tried to find some back issues, and I wasn't able to find them. But I did. Gotta love eBay. On ebay.ca, I was able to find all 6 issues that I was missing, and I got them, all 6 issues, for $11. So that sure beats the $5 Canadian cover price for per issue. So I'm looking forward to getting those in the mail and figuring out what this story is all about. And I'm really hoping that Well, hopefully that this isn't going to reawake my comic passion and start getting me buying tons of comics every week. One or two a month wouldn't be so bad, though. Well, thanks very much for listening to the very first episode of Kevin Stuff. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you have any feedback, I'd love to hear from you. I really think I'm going to be focusing this podcast on the, you know, on Warhammer and model building and painting and maybe some other geek stuff in there. And I'm also going to be throwing in some faith-based stuff from time to time. I didn't mention it before. But I did mention I was active in my church, but what I didn't mention is I'm also part of the preaching team. And I also do some counseling and just trying to help people out and really helping them become more in tune with who they are because of what Christ has done for them. So just going to leave you with this thought. My next sermon is on June 4th, and I'm going to be preaching on an Old Testament story about Moses and how when they were out, the Israelites were out in the wilderness, some snakes came because people were grumbling and complaining to God. And when they were bitten by the snakes, they were poisonous snakes, and it killed a whole bunch of people. So Moses made a pole and put an image of a snake on it. And if people would just observe and look at this pole, they would survive the snake bites. And we find out later on in the book of 2 Kings that people took this gift of God and turned it into an object of worship. And that's very true in our own lives sometimes. We're so incredibly blessed in this part of the world to play around with technology like podcasting and laptop computers and the internet and all these wonderful tools that we have. We really are blessed. And sometimes we can look at the gifts that God has given us and forget the one who gave them to us. You know, these wonderful... And I suffer from that. I should be thinking about God all the time, considering that's what I do a lot of my time. But sometimes I look at how I'm just so blessed. I look at my wife, and I look at my healthy kids, and I look at my good job, and my house, and my car, and the food on my table, and I just thank God so much for those gifts. And I'll tell people all the time, well, look how God has blessed us, and look how God has done amazing things. But what I don't have a tendency of doing is telling people about Christ, and about what Jesus has done, and who he is, and because of his sacrifice, we can be truly free from our sin and get to spend eternity with him in heaven. How awesome is that? So that's what I'm going to be preaching on. So if you have a gift in your life that is getting in the way of you really focusing on Jesus, well then I'd encourage you to spend some time with Christ this week and just ask him to forgive you of that and thank him for the gift. The gifts are an awesome thing. Never forget to thank God for the gifts in your life. But don't let that gift be a distraction to the one who gives eternal life. So thanks again for listening to Kevin Stuff. If you have any comments on this podcast, I'd love to get your feedback. You can either leave a comment on the blog, which is kevins-stuff.blogspot.com. Or else drop me an email. I can be reached at kevin.presseau, P-R-E-S-S-E-A-U-L-T, @gmail.com. I'd love to get some feedback, and maybe we can start a discussion on how we can make this podcast better together. So until next time, God bless, and look forward to hearing from you.